that remarkably, Father. I think for the first time in the history of this church, we have had to get right back into the current events of the day. After just spending some time of study and 2 weeks ago, we got to get back in it. And Lord, for these next 3 weeks, as we look at key issues regarding our faith, the Bible, Christianity, the world around us, Israel, the threat of Islam and all that's taking place, what's happening in the Middle East, oil, the price of food and all that's on the horizon, and some things even happening now as it were in our own backyard. We ask you, Father God, that you'd give us ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, church, grab your Bibles this morning and turn, if you would. By the way, go ahead and turn to John chapter 14, but you're going to get an exercise today in Bible flipping. You've heard a politician flip and flop. Well, they can flip and flop, but we're going to flip. We are going to flip through the Bible a lot today. And I haven't said this in a long time, and I want to say it. Don't come to church without a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, go grab one. There's Bibles around here, and go take it home and make it your own. But listen, for now on, I should never have to announce for you to come to church and bring your Bible. That should be an automatic. That should be an automatic. Everybody needs to have their Bible. And today we're looking at, yet again, another message in our series of the Get Ready series. And today we're looking at a message entitled, Why You Can't Wait Any Longer. Why You Can't Wait Any Longer. I have a string of subtitles for this message this morning. Like, but wait, there's more. Or if you call now, you know those ads. Just when you think the guy's done with the commercial, they go, but wait, if you call now, you'll get two of these for $3. And if you call in the next 30 seconds, we'll pay you. I've always told Lisa, I said, man, they keep dropping the price so low. Then why don't they pay me to give them a call and ship it to me for free? Well, in a sense, God wants to make an announcement to you today and ship something to you for free because it's already been purchased. That is salvation through Jesus Christ. At a time like this, you want to know that you're going to go to heaven if you were to die or if a bomb were to land on your head? These are amazing days. Yes, it's a study for the believer, but if you are not a Christian this morning, I'm going to give you arguments as to why you can't wait any longer. And yes, there is more. But the number one step is for you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Never before in the history of the church have we had the incredible luxury of being able to see the things that are happening globally around us all in harmony at the same time. We've had events taking place at various times throughout church history regarding what the Bible says are the last days or the end of days. But we have never, as of this Sunday morning, had so many of the key things of the Bible in play at the same time. It is really remarkable what's happening. The great Dr. H.A. Ironside tells of an exciting story in one of his teachings regarding the coming of the Lord. He said he was reminded of a time where he had preached a message and a family came up in Nebraska and they said, Dr. Ironside, you need to hear this. It might help you in regards to your message. And he said, well, what is it? And he said, in our home, the father said, we have a grandfather clock, and that clock ticks, and our kids have grown up with that clock. Some of you have already read this story. It's very famous. And as Dr. Ironside's listening, how does this tie into anything, this big grandfather clock? The dad goes on to say, well, that clock has a resonating chime, and it gongs on the hour, and it's doing this thing, and the family's just grown up with it. And our kids have grown up with it. And our youngest son, he's 5 years old now. He's grown up with that big clock. And he said just recently the other day, something must have gone wrong with that clock because it was chiming. And it's chiming 10 and chiming 11 and chiming 12 at noon. And then 13 and 14 and it chimed 15 and it just kept going. And that little kid, having grown up not paying attention to the sound of that big, great clock chiming, all of a sudden it got his attention. Something was wrong. That clock's been going a little long. And that kid, he said, bolted up and ran outside and he said, Daddy, Daddy! And he saw the panic in his kid's face. He goes, what is it? He says, Daddy, it's never been this late before. See, did you get that? It went to 14, 15, and the time was late. And okay, you got that? I know it's early. You want some coffee? I see. And we can say that as Christians this morning. It's never been this late before. You may be here today not a Christian, or you may be a Christian that has a whole different type of worldview, saying, ah, that's ridiculous. I don't think it's going to happen. Guess what? Today's a brand new day on the calendar, and according to the Bible, we are one day closer to the return of Jesus Christ, and that is an amazing thing. John chapter 14, verse 1 says, and then we'll go to Mark 13, 32. John 14, 1, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled, seismos. Don't let your heart have an earthquake. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Mark 13, 32. But of the day and of the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Verse 33. This is our marching orders. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. Those are the words of Jesus concerning end time events. The most comforting thing up front is he has gone to prepare a place for us that is in heaven, and that's where he's at. And he says, I'm going to come and pick you up someday. That is called the rapture. And then Mark tells us that Jesus spoke and said, you need to take heed, be watching, noticing. The clock is chiming. It's never been this late before. And that we're to be watching. It doesn't take an Einstein to figure out, my friends, that all around this world, things are absolutely chaotic. And in just a couple of weeks since I spoke to you last on this topic, things have not only changed, but I can say humbly that they've changed in the direction that you were warned about a couple of weeks ago. And we'll talk about that today. But there's probably no more difficult a task than for the Christian to maintain a sense of readiness. Church, listen, can we just agree this morning that we'll have a talk together? I really don't want to get into the traditional church vibe, meaning you sit there and I preach to you and then you get up and go buy breakfast and forget all about it. Let's just talk right now. Let's understand something right now, because I'm hoping that this is our last Sunday together. I'm hoping the Lord comes back, and listen, whoever wants to be here next week can be here if they'd like to. But if the Lord came back, if this week a trumpet blast was to be blown and the shout of the archangel, the trumpet of God is announced and we are get caught up into heaven, then you know what? Praise the Lord, man. That's going to be a great day, and it's coming. It's going to happen. We don't know when. Jesus said, be ready. And that's one of the hardest things for us to do, is to be ready. Did you know that we're going to do away with the terrorist threat levels? Did you know that? You want to know why? Nobody pays attention to them anymore. It's announced, well, it's gone from yellow to orange. What is yellow? What was yellow? What's white? Is it white? Did we go, what's below yellow? It's gone to orange. Well, is there a pink and a blue and a red before it gets to what? Nobody even cares anymore. Why? When it first came out after September 11th, everybody was, oh, we have a color structure and we're, yes. And then the first time it went out, it's orange. And then after about the 25th time, it's orange. And people said, who cares? What is it? To maintain a sense of vigilance is a hard thing. To say, watch, be ready. Especially in light of the fact that doctrine of imminency has been in effect for 2,000 years. Watch and be ready. So what are those things that should dictate for the Christian why we should be watching? Why should we be ready? And what encouragement does God give the believer that the times could be very near? These are critical things. And the Bible encourages us. But to stay vigilant. You know, some of the greatest empires of the world lost their rulership by lack of vigilance. The Babylonian Empire. Not being vigilant. Many of the victories of Alexander the Great came about because the nation states that he was going to conquer, they were not vigilant. They thought he was somewhere else. Vigilance. Pearl Harbor happened because we were not vigilant. We thought, who could reach us? 9/11, even though we had been warned, we were not vigilant. It's hard to maintain. And yet for the Christian, it is essential. And all of a sudden, all around the world, people are asking the questions of concern. And so they should. What will be the next government in Egypt? Or Muammar Gaddafi's Libya, where just this week, as you well know, he ordered his own people, his own military, to take their weapons and to begin mowing down his own population, killing them in the streets. Two of his Air Force pilots defected and took their fighter jets to Malta and defected because they were ordered to bomb various cities in his own country. What in the world is going on? What's happening? People are asking the question, what's going to happen next? And now we see Egypt and just what, as the world proclaimed, celebrate. It's, you know, 4 weeks or 3 weeks of freedom and liberty. And now the Egyptians are becoming terrified because they don't know what kind of leadership they have. We're going to see that this morning. A lot of verses, so here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1. I want to read that to you. It's a time for us to put our seatbelts on and make sure everything's ready to go. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1, Paul says, but concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you will have no need that I should write unto you. That is an awesome statement. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 says, it's going to become so obvious to the believer that you're in the last days that you won't even need to get an email, a Twitter, or a Facebook to remind you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Pay close attention to this. For when they say, you got to circle the word they, that's not you. When they say peace and safety, oh, finally, everything's going to be great. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. Look at verse 4. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. No Christian is going to be surprised at the coming of the Lord in the last days. Verse 5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. He's not talking about going night-night. He's talking about being vigilant and alert as others who sleep. But let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. For those who get drunk at night. But let those who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Look at verse 9. You got to circle this. This is a promise to you today, and you're going to need it. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Translation, that is an amazing statement in the Greek language. It has nothing to do with hell. It does not mean that God has rescued you from hell. That's not what it means. Though he has done that, that word means God has delivered the Christian from the wrath that is coming upon the earth. So because of that, be vigilant, be on guard, be ready, be watching, because you don't know when the hour is. But you'll see indicators as to things that are giving you warning about the last day's events. This is very, very profound. If you are a Christian, I want to say to you this morning, just wait. Keep waiting. Don't give up. Time does not allow me to tell you within this own body of believers how many people are starting to give up on faith and think the stupidest thoughts. I'm turning in my Christianity because of this, that, or the other. But yet the Bible speaks about that. And it's happening to Christians or so-called Christians all around the world. A time of apostasy. Christian, hang in there. Wait. Stay in your Bible. Don't quit. And if you're not a Christian this morning, this message is for you. And why you cannot wait any longer to make a decision for Christ. And all along the way, I want to stress, I'm not asking you to join this church. I don't honestly care if I ever see you again, as long as you give your heart to Christ. You may get back in the plane and fly back to wherever you came from. That's fantastic, as long as you've given your heart to Christ for real. Matthew 24, 42. The Bible says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour the Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house, think of you now, the master of the house, your house, would have known that the hour of the thief is coming. He would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. No thief calls you up and says, "Hey, rip you off. I'm going to rip you off at 2:15 tomorrow morning." Wouldn't that be nice? Well, no thief is going to tell you what time he's going to rob you. Can somebody give me one reason why? Well, you'll either witness to the guy, which will scare him to death, or you'll shoot the bum for breaking into your home. No thief wants you to know when he's coming. So Jesus says, listen, you need to be ready, because verse 44, he says, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour that you don't expect." It is incumbent upon the Christian to be ready. That's why we need each other. We've got to be fellowshipping with each other. You know what's beautiful? I see Robin sitting here in the front row. Why does that even come to my mind? Because in a sense, though we didn't talk, there was a moment of fellowship Friday at Barbara Box's office, praying for the unborn. She was there. How does that happen? Jackie, you were there. I saw you. We didn't talk, but I saw you walk by. There were people there I didn't know. What does that have to do with anything? Being united as Christians in whatever, if it's prayer, reaching the homeless, Bible study, worship, this church, people come, volunteers, they come, and some of them bring their children, and they straighten the chairs, and they make sure all the little pocket seats have got the right information in them. You say, well, what's that all about? It's just part of being a family, and part of being a family helps us be ready. Because the master of our home, the husband, as it were, of this body of Christ, the church, said, be waiting for me, be watching, I'm coming. And the danger this morning is for you to say, yeah, I've heard this before. Jesus says, be ready. It's powerful. Point number one, here we go to this. Why you can't wait any longer? The Bible says that, number one, the Middle East will be the epicenter. The Middle East will be the epicenter. And I want you to judge all of these points against your modern day reality that's in the newspaper today, against the Bible. That the Middle East will be the epicenter of what's going on in the world. And maybe prior to the last few weeks, we didn't give it much thought, much attention, about how bad men can take control of the world, so to speak, because of the control of oil and the control of certain waterways, certain properties in the earth, a place that we would look at, let's be honest, a place, I'm old enough to remember this. When I looked at the Middle East when I was growing up, it was nothing but the armpit of the universe. It was ridiculous. It was nothing but a sand pit. And it was worth nothing except some... Was it, what's his face? Was it Rockefeller? Who's the guy? Oppenheimer or Rockefeller? Was actually reading in the Bible and came to the word pitch, you know, P-I-T-C-H, pitch. And he said, you know what, pitch, you can't have pitch without having oil. And years ago, they went over there and did some probing around and discovered oil. And all of a sudden, what was a nothing part of the world became an everything part of the world. So much so that there's a handful of bad guys right now plotting in the Middle East to take control of the Suez Canal and the Strait of Hormuz. There is known terrorist attacks planned to sink a oil tanker at the most narrow point of the Strait of Hormuz. You say, how does that affect me? Some young people, one young person today might sit here and say, what does that matter? What does that matter? How would you like to stay in your house 24/7 with your parents for the next 6 months without getting out? No, never! Don't do that to me! Well, the price of fuel, the price of gasoline would go through the roof. Nobody would be able to buy it. That plan's in the works. That's not a secret. The Middle East. Who'd ever thought that in the last few, 36 hours... In the last 36 hours, your fuel prices have gone up 17 cents at the pump. Why? Because of what I just told you about. The world security systems are finding plots to cripple the West. The Middle East is the epicenter of all that you and I are concerned about right now and the things that we're going to be living out in the very, very near future. Pulitzer Prize-winning author Charles Krauthammer said, and I quote, "On the surface, who would have cared about a couple of countries somewhere else in the world? Until we realize that it's those countries that have the power to bring the world to a halt. This is when the industrialized nations of the world will be forced into action. It will be the beginning of World War III." Ladies and gentlemen, that comment was made last week. Here's the good news. See, Pastor, give me some good news. Well, as a Christian, this is all good news. But here's some good news. Luke 21:9 says, when you hear of wars and commotions, can we all agree that the world has got a bunch of commotions going on? Do not be terrified. Don't you love when God says that? He already, it's so cool. Why did he say that? Because he assumes we're going to be terrified. So he says, don't be terrified. For these things must come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. What end? What end? The end of the world. Is it the end of the world? No, no. It's going to get much worse before the end comes. Protest around the world. Look what's going on in the world around us. As you look at the screen, keep looking at that screen. Jesus said there's going to be commotions. China now has rioting going on. Obviously, Libya and Egypt, Indian rallies. People are rallying in India because they're disgruntled and upset. Tribal chiefs join opposition. The Yemeni president, that whole system of the world. Iran is protesting in the face of possible death. Protesting. This is in Greece this week. Did you guys see the news in Greece? European Greece, there's protesting and rioting. All this stuff taken from the news this week, in the last week and a half, on the screens. All of them shouting, freedom, liberation, set us free. And behind the scenes, as the news spins it as a wonderful revolution sweeping the world, oh, listen. As I mentioned before, I'll say it again, the Muslim Brotherhood has not only proven to be behind all this, they will prostitute their own people to get out in front of the cameras because these many, many people want peace and they're shouting for victory and shouting for hope. And there's a power behind all that stuff. They will put their own people in front of tanks and machine guns and cameras and sacrifice them because when there is no answer, listen to me, listen. You'll hear it here first. All they have to do is play the card long enough in the Middle East where there is no true democracy. And what happens is because there's no root and foundation for a true God-fearing democracy, like the nation you had the opportunity to be sitting in right now, had its founding hundreds of years before our founding fathers came. The pilgrims had laid the groundwork that it would be upon God. These attempts are a cry for freedom, democracies used as a word, and the bad guys who want to control the world are driving it. They will gladly give up a couple of inches, knowing that in the end they'll gain some feet. Because after the crowd's euphoric rush of freedom and the cameras have packed up and gone away and all CNN's gone home, they've all packed up. That's when the power system moves into the void. You see, Pastor, I don't know why you would ever say such a thing. Have you ever heard of Hamas, Gaza, democracy and elections? The people in Gaza were given a democracy. They voted. How did they vote? They voted in a terrorist organization. That was a test run. International intelligence committees know that what happened in Gaza not too long ago was a test pilot for the Muslim Brotherhood for the Middle East. Number two, why you can't wait any longer, my friend, you should become a Christian today because the Bible says Israel will be ground zero to the world events. Israel will be ground zero. Joel 3, verse 1, "For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people, my heritage, Israel, whom I have scattered among all the nations, and they have also divided up my land." Stop right there. This verse Bible students, I want you to be specific. Guys, you can put that verse back up on the screen. I want you to look at it here. This verse is critical. This is a verse concerning the latter portion of the tribulation period. We're not in that. We're at least 7 years away from that. Watch this. In those days, at that time, he's getting very specific. As Bible students, we perk up and we go, what's he talking about? Clue, when I bring back the captives of Judah and Jerusalem, Israel. I will also gather all nations. Really? Why? What's the deal? And bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. I know my Bible. That's not good. That statement right there implies God's going to roll up his sleeves and he's going to put on some brass knuckles. I will also gather all nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat, and I will enter into judgment with them there on account of my people. Next slide. If you have any doubt as to who his people are, no matter what you're hearing on our university campuses, it is my heritage Israel, whom they, who? The world have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. Hillary Clinton at this hour, Barack Obama, George Bush the first, Clinton. I don't think there has been a Reagan did not go for it. Truman did not go for it. Carter almost gave the whole show away. Almost every American, but believe it or not, Lyndon Johnson refused to debate Israel giving up her land. I didn't like that guy, but he made a good decision on that one. You guys, this verse applies to the latter end of the tribulation period. You say, well, how does it apply to us right now? Point being, is there not talk about dividing up the land constantly? We're not living that verse out at its end, but have you not recognized enough of its precursor here to get your attention? If this doesn't get your attention, then something's wrong with you. Honestly, I mean that with all love. But what's wrong with you? You would have to deny that Israel's back in the land again. You would have to deny that she's not surrounded by a bunch of enemies. You would have to deny that throughout all human history, God has said, those are my people. I picked them. That's why everybody hates them. It's remarkable. Israel's ground zero. Good news is this. Amos 9:14 says, I will bring the captives of my people Israel, and they shall build the wastelands and the cities and inhabit them. You're going to see that in about a month, those of you who are going there with us. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them, and they shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Boy, I tell you, that verse, put that on stuff. You want to get people excited? This is stronger than a cup of coffee. Show that to the world. Those of you who are at these godless universities of ours that are anti-Israel, anti-America, put that on your t-shirt and walk around. If I just could dress up and look all young, and I would put on some clothes, would have that stuff on it and cause a riot, and I wouldn't even have to open my mouth, just walk on the campus. God is for Israel. Try that at Cal Poly. Watch what happens. Do it anyhow. I can hardly get out of my car. I'll use a walker. No. Our day's coming, though. You guys, we've got t-shirts available in the courtyard after service in defense of Israel. Why? Strategically for today. Why? Because very, very soon, maybe even before this summer, I'm going to ask you to get those t-shirts and join me down on Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles. And nobody sits it out, you chicken. Don't be a coward. I've got to mow the lawn. You haven't mowed it in months and you know it. You can meet us down there. Take a stand. God blesses those who take a stand for Israel. Number three, the Bible says that Jerusalem is the problem. Why you can't wait any longer is to recognize right now that Jerusalem's the problem. It's not my problem. It's not your problem. But the world, Jerusalem's the problem. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 2, behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all surrounding peoples. And when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all nations or all people. All who would heave it away surely shall be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth gather against it. Listen to this. Look at this slide. This is not good. Well, that was fast. Obama versus Israel. That article goes on to say that at that time, recent negotiations and talks with Israel, Barack Obama's agenda regarding Israel's ability to not only be, but to grow on its own land has generated responses that has pitted in the Jewish mind of the Jewish people that Obama is anti-Israel. And I think you'll see more of that in a moment. And certainly it's not the first time an American president, as I said earlier, has held that position. But it's a tragedy. Zechariah chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 refer to a time, as we were looking at that a moment ago. It refers of a time during the 7-year tribulation period as well, when God will come and rescue Jerusalem. But listen to this. Look at Luke 21:27. Luke 21:27 says, "Then they will see the Son of Man coming." That is at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. By the way, Bible students, are you guys with me? This cost you a lot of money if you went to a college to get this. So write it down, it's for free. While the Battle of Armageddon is forming and its opening throes, while Israel and Jerusalem are surrounded, looks like there's no hope for them. The Bible tells us, also in conjunction with Revelation chapter 19, Luke 21:27 says here, "Then they," that is those of the world, not you and I, "will be with him, will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them in a parable. And he said, look at the fig tree and all trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is near." What does that mean? Jesus is saying, Christian, be watching the events of the world scene. There's going to be some warning signs, and we'll talk about that at the end. There'll be some warning signs, and then once the domino falls, one domino goes. That's, by the way, remember when Jesus said in Revelation at the end, he says, "Behold, I come quickly." Have you ever read that verse and said, he didn't come quickly? That's been 2,000 years. He said that 2,000 years ago. You guys, the Bible wasn't written in English. That's not what it says. Jesus said, when these things domino, when the first domino happens, from the time that the domino tips, things are going to be fulfilled so fast that, behold, I come quickly. It means when it happens. Not, I'm coming back soon. That's not what it means. It means when you see the end time stuff starting to come together, I will be back quick. No, but listen, think about it. Christ and his great coming, the great second coming, prior to 1948, nobody had any right of talking about it. I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the second coming. Because Israel had to be in existence. The Bible says Christ will return to Israel and to the Mount of Olives. That's very important. Don't lose that. Number four, the Bible says that civil unrest will go global. Civil unrest will be a global event. Matthew 24:7. "For a nation or ethnic group will rise against ethnic group, and political power against political powers. And there will be famines." By the way, the word implies not because God doesn't give us enough water. It's what is inferred is that there are political famines. People won't be allowed to eat. Pestilence, earthquakes. God help New Zealand right now. In various places. "All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended." I believe he's talking about tribulation saints, the believers that will die for their faith during that 7-year period. But he goes on, and many will be offended and will betray one another and hate one another. Then many false prophets will arise and deceive many. Verse 12 looks like our news broadcast today. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love or care for one another will grow cold. Civil unrest. America is sitting on a powder keg right now of civil unrest. Have you guys seen that commercial that now is not funny anymore? There was this commercial, it's still out there, and it shows some guy opening his window and he says, "It's my money and I want it now." And then somebody across the street hears him and he opens up his door and says, "It's my money and I want it now." And they're all yelling about how it's their money and they want it now. The only problem is there is no money anywhere anymore. And then we've got people, listen, all of us, if you haven't yet suffered cutbacks in your medical provider, this staff, we have all. If raises have not been not only curtailed, but if you've been invited to take a cut in pay just to keep your job, hello, welcome to the new norm. It's my money and I want it now. We have a problem here. You're either going to think about yourself in light of all that's taking place, or you're going to realize, I never had any money, it was never mine to begin with, and what I did have, it all belongs to God. Amen. Only those people that can say that will survive. Because the guy who says, it's my money and I want it now, is the same guy who, after a while, goes into a panic and go gets a gun and go marches down the street to his neighbor's house to get his money. It's called civil unrest. It's foreign to us in America, but not to the rest of the world. It's time for us to get ready to meet the Lord. And if you don't know Jesus, you can't wait any longer, my friend. What more do you need to see? We could all be out of here soon. It's another indicator that the Lord's coming is near. Number 5, why you can't wait any longer, my friend, is because the Bible says that global economies will fail. I mentioned this on Wednesday night. I'll say it again. James chapter 5. James 5 verses 1, 2, and 3. By the way, it's now become something that when I say what I'm about to say, I get an email or a note from somebody. Somebody puts it on my windshield wiper or leaves a note at my house telling me how wrong I am and that I shouldn't be saying this. And then every time I talk to somebody who left the note on the window, they happen to sell this kind of stuff. James 5:1 says, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted." They're worthless now. Whatever they had was something. Now it's nothing. "And your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you, and you will eat flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasures in the last days." You can't watch 1 hour of television without hearing about Roslyn Gold, Goldline Financial. I had never even heard of these companies before. Now, someone's going to say, "Pastor, you're really very... you've done a great injustice to the safety of all of your people by discouraging them to hoard gold." I'll do one better on you. The Bible says in the last days, a man will have to work all day long just to get a loaf of bread. That means gold and silver is going to become worth nothing. And whoever has got the biggest Twinkies is going to win. Think of that. You can't. No matter how, if all that stuff evaporates, you can chew on gold all you want. In fact, didn't Moses tell Aaron, "Grind up the golden calf, mix it in the water, and have them drink it"? I think that's cool, by the way. Yeah. Did you know that's in the Bible? Yeah. All these people worshiping this God, this little God, this God brought us out of Egypt. Can you imagine? This God, this bull got us out of Egypt. "Oh, come, look at our bull. It's a bunch of bull. Look. Well, this is the God." And Aaron looks, God, Moses goes, "Aaron, how did this happen?" Aaron's such a liar. He goes, You know what? The people threw out the gold. They threw their gold into a fire and a cow popped out. He said that. He's telling Moses has been with God for 40 days. Moses is like this. Aaron, what happened? I don't know. I mean, I know you left me in charge and all, but gold, they just threw gold into a fire and a cow came out. Can you see Moses looking at his brother Aaron? Aaron, I told you about this. When you were younger, I knew this kind of stuff was going to happen. So Moses says, grind it up. Turn the gold into dust. Have everybody get in line, and I want them to drink it. I think that's so cool. Well, listen, after they drank the gold, they weren't any richer. Be careful. All these commercials, when you see these commercials about that kind of stuff, just know this. My God told me about these kind of stuff would happen in the last days. The Bible says in the last days, men will panic and heap up gold and silver for themselves. Pretty amazing. Number six, the Bible says that the world food supplies will drop. Matthew 24:7-12, I'll just give you this one verse here. Jesus said, we read it a moment ago, that there's going to be famines globally around the world. Now, we miss this, and I want you to see this slide, you guys. Check this out. This is just one slide. U.S. corn reserves hit lowest level in 15 years. Listen, what's the date on that, by the way? Can anybody see that? February 9th, 2011. You know why they're talking about this stuff? Because the Midwest has been devastated by one of the worst winters ever. We are currently at this hour at a 15-year low regarding corn. You say, what's the big deal? I don't like corn. Corn is key to everything. You can do all kinds of stuff with corn. And here's a warning. 15-year low. Why are they printing it up? It comes at a 15-year low when they're also warning us that this coming spring, summer, and fall, we ain't going to have much. You think the price of gasoline's going up? People in Florida, they're sitting on gold mines right now with whatever oranges they have that survived the frost of Florida. Crop devastation. What in the world's going on? You say, Pastor, this is not good news. I wish I wouldn't have come today. No, listen, first of all, be very thankful. Be very thankful. But down deep inside, isn't this true? If we all go to Mimi's today after service and get an orange juice with our eggs or whatever, aren't you more thankful now than you have ever been in your life? That causes worship and praise. That causes confidence. As I look around at the world, I say, Lord, thank you. I don't revel in bad news. But when I hear bad news, I judge it up against my scripture. And the Lord says, Jack, it's okay. I'm in control. I got this. Well, the next one's no secret. The Bible says, it must say, though it doesn't mention it, the Bible says that America will become irrelevant. So what? It doesn't even say America in the Bible. Exactly. America will become irrelevant. There's a slide we have for you. Just leave this up here for a moment. U.S. will be the world's third largest economy, Citibank says, very soon. You guys, this, it's now being estimated, it's being debated, that it may be as early as April that the United States currency will be replaced as the world leading currency that will devastate the United States. Why is this important? Currencies. Dollar dives as U.S. bond yields slide. The world's lost confidence in the dollar. For good reason. And by the way, these politicians out there that are trying to fix things right now, they're trying to fix things and they have to have bodyguards to keep from getting killed. Because I want my money and I want it now. America's broke. All 50 states are nearing a state of bankruptcy. I think California is third most in debt. I heard recently from a global financial expert. He was speaking at a conference. I happened to have been there for just a brief period of time. I wanted to hear what he had to say. He said, for us to get back, for the United States to owe nothing, every citizen, every American, legal or illegal, all those that are presently here would have to pay to the government $106,000 per person to get us out of the hole to zero. And that is financially, economically, mathematically impossible. Why is the greatest nation that the world has ever known? I'm not saying that arrogantly. There's been no greater nation, all of them combined, that has been more benevolent than America. Yes. That's a fact. Look it up. There wouldn't have been a Western Europe without finally America getting into World War II. I was in England with a team. Some of you guys are with us, and we were walking by, and we were obviously talking English, but with an American accent. And some English guys, young guys, came by. About six of them came by. And they said, why don't you guys take your white American blankety blank blanks and get out of our country? And you'd have been so proud of me. I bit my lip really hard. That's what God's trained me to do now. I bit my lip really hard and I kept walking. And then I couldn't bite my lip anymore. I turned around and I said, hey, come here. They come walking over. Yeah, man, what? I said, if it wasn't for my dad's sorry white little blankety blank, you, I can't say the next thing. I didn't cuss. I just challenged their education. I didn't cuss. All I said was, you idiots would be speaking German. Have a nice night. And I walked away. And I was maybe not in the spirit at the moment. I'm not sure. I'm debating it. But that's true, you know. That's true, you know. And when a country picks up the phone and says, you know what, there's a bad man beating us up, and we'd like you guys to come help us. Did anybody hear on Anderson 360, the poor, poor woman on the streets of Libya crying? You guys, I was shocked that CNN played it. She was crying on the phone and she said, America, America, you've set the world free. Come and free us. Please help us. We're dying. We need you. Listen, we need you, America. Help us now. It's our turn to be helped by you. Come and set us free and tell this to Mr. Obama. I was driving. I had tears in my eyes. We can't do that kind of stuff anymore because we don't have the backbone and we don't have the money. The greatest economy will become irrelevant. The greatest voice for freedom will become irrelevant. The greatest defender of Israel will become irrelevant. You fill in the blank, it will become irrelevant. Does it warm my heart to say it? It breaks my heart to say it. But the Bible says all nations will be gathered against Israel in the last days. Number eight, the Bible says that a false church will arise in the last days. It's already arisen, the false church. A false church will arise. A very, very, very beautiful, cool, fun thing, but it's just off. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, now the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit expressly says that in the last days, latter days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. You got to mark that. And doctrines of demons. You guys, Satan, demons don't come up and say, ha, boo, now follow us. They don't do that. They're cool, hip, convincing, smart. Deceiving spirits, doctrines of demons. And when you get a church off the track of preaching the gospel and sharing the love of Christ through a bazillion avenues, which you can do, from feeding the homeless to affecting your community to prayer meetings, you name it. It can be anything. But how, as we, by the grace of God, infiltrate other worlds for the glory of God to present the gospel, that's why we're living. When you lose that track and you wind up now spending your church time promoting how we need to save the planet, so we're going to preach the green gospel. Or how we're going to do this. We're going to bring in all of these social justice programs. And this is our new focus. And you don't mention the cross because in your statement, it offends people. And we don't want to offend anybody because Jesus wouldn't hurt anybody's feelings. Complete twist. This is happening today in churches. You can forget about denominational names or any kind of name. And I'm not, listen. This church happens to be, at this hour, a Calvary Chapel. If it was a First Baptist or a Lutheran or a Methodist, or put a name on it, I don't care what it is. But listen, when that group or when that denomination or when that movement departs from the preaching of the gospel, then we will follow the preaching of the gospel rather than some trendy, cool doctrine of a demon. A false church will arise, and the Bible says in the last days, the Antichrist, who's coming, is going to use it. By the way, he's number 9. Why you can't wait any longer, number 9, is that the Bible says a politician is coming to fix all these problems. You say, I don't believe this stuff you're talking about. I want to ask you a question. Is the Middle East in upheaval and in a dilemma? Yes. Guess what my Bible says? My Bible says, and it's too much to quote, write it down. Daniel 2, Daniel 7, Daniel 9. Daniel 11, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, 2 Thessalonians, oh, leave that up on the screen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, all speak about a man rising up out of a group of men from what used to be the old Roman Empire. We call that today Europe. He will come up humbly at first, it says. Out of the 10, there'll be 3 predominant leaders. From nowhere, this guy will arise out of the 10, and he will subdue the 3 great leaders, and he himself will sign a treaty of peace with Israel for 7 years. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. He brings in such a prominent, though it's temporary, sense of world peace. You guys, did you see when Obama visited Germany? Hello, did anybody see it? I'm sorry. During his campaign, when he was senator. Do you remember when he went to, I think it was the Brandenburg Gate? Did anybody see that? You guys, all right, you're not very convincing. You guys, there was a sea of Germans. And what scared me was when he walked out on the stage, I've never seen a rock star in my life greeted like he was greeted. People were crying. This was a United States senator campaigning for his presidency in Germany. You say, what do you mean? First of all, don't misunderstand me. Barack Obama is not the Antichrist. I'm not saying that. Not even. I'm saying there's things that happen in life that causes you to say, wow, if that can happen to a guy who 3 years ago, nobody knew who he was. Americans were going, who? Even Democrats were going, who is this guy? And now he was greeted during his campaign in Germany like he was a god. And what scares me is that I never thought I'd ever see that many Germans gathered together to hear one man speak because of history. But you don't think the world can go after a leader? He hadn't even done anything yet. Actually, he won the Nobel Prize by that time, but that's a joke. Anyway. You guys, this is the news this week. This is the Jewish news. This is why it's important. Are Arab leaders being punished for religious persecution? Prominent rabbis offer explanations for Mideast uprisings. Really? What is it? That article goes on to say that it's because the Messiah is soon to arrive. So I don't believe it. I don't care what you believe. They believe it. They believe what? What my Bible says, a man's going to come on the world scene and sign a 7-year contract for peace. We have to hurry, but I'm not stopping, but we have to hurry. Wow. Okay, hey, you guys, let's skip to the chart. This is fun. Let's skip to the chart, the slides that are up here next. Coming up. Israel and the nations slide. Sorry, there we go. You want to follow with me? Watch this. Civilizations, nations, empires that have waged war against Israel or have sought to exterminate the Jewish people throughout history. Egyptian Empire, current status, not around. Philistines, they're gone. Assyrian Empire, no more. Babylonian Empire, Persian Empire, Grecian Empire, Roman Empire, gone. Byzantine Empire, no more. Ottomans, gone. Spanish Empire, that was, by the way, Spanish Empire, a lot of people don't realize that, it was the largest land possession empire of all time. The Nazi Third Reich, gone. Soviet Empire, gone. Islamic Republic of Iran, watch. Is this amazing? You ever think of that? That's amazing. Because this is number 10 on our list. This is point 10 and we're done. The Bible says there'll be warning signs in the world around us. Warning signs. Israel's in the land, you guys. It's being surrounded by its enemies. You can put the pictures of the ships that are now up there, you guys. We'll wrap this up because of time. But Israel's being surrounded. Iranian warships sail. We talked about this, remember last week? Iranian warships sail through, that's past tense now, the Suez Canal for the first time in 1979 amid accusations of provocation from Israel. Next slide. That's a weird picture, isn't it? Ship going through the desert. There you go. No, maybe, yes. Iran warships dock in Syria after crossing Suez. By the way, go ahead and look it up, guys, because I know you're interested in this. There's a lot of other hardware now there as well. What's going on? Israel's not taking this lightly. So, to wrap this up, I want to give you a string of verses, which I cannot give right now, but I'll tell you this. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Yes. You better make sure. You see, Pastor, this scared me. Good. Good. You're not going to get this anywhere else. But you don't have to be, listen, it's okay to be scared. It's not good to be afraid. If I see a rattlesnake, that scares me. I don't have to be afraid because God gave me two legs to run. You with me? Decide on what you're going to do here. I'm going to leave you with a picture. This is a couple of days ago. Lisa and I were walking. You know where English Springs Road is? We were walking on English Springs Road. It's beautiful, quiet. And the sun was hitting the asphalt and it was warming up. It's early though. And it's a cold morning. And all of a sudden, these caterpillars from right to left start going across the street. I mean, Lisa goes, oh, look, how sad. Look, it's going to get run over. Lisa, come on. So she, you have to get it. You know the big fuzzy ones that turned into butterflies later this spring? So, okay, come here. I'm just trying to pick them up. Come here, get in there. Pick them up. I walk them over. And I set them to the side. Okay. Look, there's another one. Oh, for crying out loud, Lisa. I am not kidding. I easily could tell you, I stopped at 20, 25 caterpillars. I got them to the side, to the road. It was really cool because they're heading for bushes and trees. And you know what they're going to go do. They're going to go and they're going to go through the metamorphosis. And in the spring, you're going to see them all flying around. And I told Lisa, I said, you know, it's really freaky. Here's some cars. This is true. There's some cars coming. It's a one-lane road, but there's a truck coming. So now I'm right in the middle of rescuing these guys. So Lisa goes, well, just stand out there because the guy's not going to run you over. They're going to get hit. So I'm scooping them up like this now. Right? Get in. Come on. And because they're fuzzy, they weren't obeying me. They wouldn't just quickly get on your hand. Because they're fuzzy, you can pinch their hair and pick them up. Just pick them up. And I'm going like this. Oh, my gosh. And the guy driving the truck's probably thinking, there's one of those idiots picking up. So I'm saving these things, and I'm putting them over there. And we got in the car, and I said, you know what? I got to use this. Because you know what it is? They had no idea. They were going from one part of their existence with hopes of getting to the other. They had to cross this highway. They are in total danger with hopes of someday being changed with wings able to fly. And out of nowhere, a rapture happened. Huh? I stooped down and plucked them right off the earth. And they were changed. Well, I mean, they're going to be changed, I hope. Are you ready for that moment when it happens? If you're not ready for that moment, I thank God that after this morning, you're to blame and not us. But we want you ready. Let's get ready. Father, we pray right now in Jesus' name that in our hearts, right here, right now, we would say to you, first of all, as believers, thank you, Lord, I'm ready. We don't walk on water. We're not perfect. But Lord, we're excited and we live every day for you. And we're waiting. And maybe you're here right now and you're not sure if he came. You would not know what to do. You, the Bible said, you would be left behind. Are you watching? Are you waiting? Are you taking heed? Do you have your hand on the pulse of the Bible as you watch this world? Oh my goodness. Please, in Jesus' name, make sure that you right now give your life to Christ, that he died on the cross for you, rose again from the grave, is your Lord and Savior. Make him your King today, in Jesus' name. Let's stand as we'll end in this song. We'll see you guys Wednesday night.